The Parkeology Challenge is alive and well. We have some news and rumors that we would like to discuss. And we also have a special topic of what is our favorite ride to relax on. That is coming up today on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everyone, to episode number 395. I can't believe I've done 395 episodes. It only took almost 6 years.
I can't believe I ate the whole thing.
My name is John, and I'm your host this week. I am joined today by my partner in crime, that is Adam.
What's up, everybody?
And we were kind of hoping that Jason would join us, but I think he might be snoozing because he didn't respond. So that's okay. We'll let him get some extra rest.
Remember that time he fell asleep during the show?
I do actually remember that, yes. I don't think did we put any of that on the show? I'm trying to think.
I think I might have, yeah. I don't remember. Anyway, wake up soon.
So, yes, wake up soon.
We record these at 4 a.m., so just so you
right,
know.
That's what it is.
Every day.
Yeah, sure we do.
There's 6 episodes a week we don't release, but 1 a week we do, so. Every morning, 4 a.m.
We're just building them up. They're all throwaways.
Yeah, except for one. We keep the best one every week, and this is what you're hearing.
I thought we give that many attempts.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, as I said at the top of the show, that we have a ride completion in the Parkeology Challenge.
Yes. Clap, 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 clap.
Yes. For a while there, it was questionable as to if it would ever be possible again.
Yeah.
We've already contacted the brothers WDW, who, congratulations to them. They're the ones that made the completion.
Yeah.
And
if anybody could do it, it would be them.
Yes. We've had them on our show before.
Yeah.
We have reached out to them about discussing this.
Indeed.
Run.
Yeah.
Be looking out for that one soon. We hope to get them on real soon so we can cover it while it's still fresh.
See you real soon.
Yeah. But as of the recording of this podcast, it happened 2 days ago?
Yeah, give or take.
So by the time you're listening to this, it'll have been a week ago.
Yeah. 51 rides.
Yeah, never been done before.
Right.
Has anyone even gotten into the 50s? I don't think they have.
I have to verify.
That's a tough question, right?
I know people, the high 40s for sure, but
right.
This is all but Rock and Roller Coaster.
It was the only ride that's officially open that was under refurbishment. So,
right.
Because you can't count Tron yet because it's only had previews. You don't really count a ride until it's had its official opening day. So it's not counting yet. So everything else save Rock and Roller Coaster was open. So it was one ride away from being a ride every ride, not a ride every open ride. So that's another thing that was pretty impressive. That. What do you mean?
Nothing. Full so, Parkeology, what you're going to say.
Full Parkeology. Well, yeah. I mean, because they have two versions, right? Ride every open ride.
Right.
And then ride every ride.
And the full. But, you know,
wow.
Yeah, it was impressive to see. They're always, you know, the best at this point of doing especially Disney World.
The highs, the lows, the controversy.
Yeah, there's like a slight.
Yeah, there's a little bit of controversy. But we hope to address that with them directly and maybe on the show and everything. So,
yeah.
And
either way, they still rode all the rides.
I was going to say, I'm impressed. I got to be honest, without going into too much detail, I think that the question of one of the rides of how they got onto it and everything, I don't see like how they could get onto it without doing it right, doing it legal in my view. So, yeah.
Yeah. Either way, it's very impressive. And the way I understand why they did it, but the fact that they were at, I think, Mission Space, and then they went from there all the way to Ratatouille, and then all the way back to Guardians, to finish. Yeah. That's a lot. I think they said they did 19 or 20 miles. I forgot exactly, but yeah, a lot. They're the fastest there is. So they have the quickest completion as well.
Yeah.
Under their belt. So they know how to do it quick. And I mean, I'm curious once Tron opens and Rockin's back and then Tiana's Bayou Adventure, that's going to make the ride count all the way to like, what, 54 at some point?
If you have the right combination of hours and busyness, I guess we'll say, it'll always still be possible.
Yeah.
It'll be more challenging on days that don't have the hours, obviously. Right. And if they ever open up the stupid limitations on park hopping, then yeah, that would be that. Yeah. It'll make it possible then if they ever do that. But until they do that, it's going to be harder. And as you saw, everything they had to do in this run just to get there.
Right.
So,
and it was still down to the wire.
Yes.
It was very close.
Still down to the wire.
Speaking of that, though, kind of switching a little bit on the topic, have you seen the wait times this week? This is definitely the calm before the storm of spring breaks that are coming up.
I think so.
Yeah, because at one point someone was posting a 5-minute wait for Rise of the Resistance today.
A 5-minute wait.
But when I looked, it was like 50 minutes, or I think I saw Slinky under an hour. I think I saw Smuggler's Run at 20 minutes this afternoon.
I mean, I was just,
a lot of low weights.
When you said that, I looked at like the touring plans, you know how they have that graph throughout the day. The only time that I see it that low is near the end of the night on the graph. So I don't know if that was a misprint or somebody screwing with the screenshots or something.
Probably. Either way, we're spending way too much time on this. Point is, the wait times have been low this week, and that's
somewhat low.
Yeah, I looked around today and was like, "Wow, it's not
pretty low,
busy right now."
But probably more accurate.
Yeah,
you mean than it had been?
Yeah, and you know, I'm going this weekend, this past weekend, as you're listening to this, for the Tron previews. So, I'm curious what the weekend is going to be like. Flower and Garden just started, which we talked a little bit about last week. Mando is at Hollywood Studios. I know I'm like breezing through all this.
Yeah, I know. Grogu.
Grogu and Mandu. Mando.
Mandu.
Mandu.
Who's Mandu?
Mando.
Yeah. Mandu, Mandon't.
No. The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Just in time for season 3 to debut.
Yep, which was as of the day of this recording, right? So I have not had a chance to see it yet.
All right, I'm going to cover your ears. I'm going to give a full spoiler review of episode 1.
I do not think so.
There's not a lot of spoilers for episode 1, to be honest.
When you were talking about the Flowering Garden, some of the topiaries.
Yes, new topiaries.
Those are always fun anyway.
There's some new ones.
So which ones are new ones? Is the Miss Piggy and Kermit one new? I'm trying to see. I'm not sure if that's brand new or not. Has that one been there before?
They just moved it. It used to be in France, but they moved it last year.
Oh, yes, it's been relocated. Yeah, I see.
Yeah.
Now, the Mickey, Minnie, Pluto, Chip, and Dale ones, I think they've been in different places before. I don't think they've been all together before.
Yeah.
So that part's different.
The Encanto ones are the new ones.
Yes,
they're kind of the centerpiece one now. There's a Tiana one.
And a moment ago, when we were speaking of Rockin' being down, just real quick.
Yeah.
You know, there's a permit that suggests a possible track replacement is being done during this lengthy refurbishment. Probably not the whole thing, but maybe certain sections needed to be replaced, maybe. Mm-hmm. So we don't know for sure, but that's could be a part of the refresh, as they're having to replace some of the track.
Yeah. I mean, it is 23, 4 years old, the track.
It opened in July of 1999, so that would make it 24 this July.
Yeah. I mean, since it was installed, it was probably sometime in 98, right? So even,
I don't know.
It's got to be around 25 years. What is the lifespan of a roller coaster track? Because Space Mountain's been there for a while, so.
Yeah, I don't know if they've ever replaced any pieces of track or not.
Maybe because Rockin' goes so fast, maybe that it
could be part
stresses it too more quickly.
good possibility.
Yeah. I mean, it was always smooth, but maybe lately it kind of needed maybe some new track. I think that would be great.
It had a reputation for being one of the smoothest launch coasters, launch coasters out there, period, in the world. Yeah.
But I would definitely say I think Slinky is smoother these days.
It's not really a Goddard's. True launch, in my opinion. I mean, it has a launch in the middle of it.
Technically a launch. But Guardians is smoother. I think everyone says Tron is super smooth.
Well, it's brand new. I hope so.
I'll find out. But, we'll see. But, I mean, of course it would be smooth. It's 25 years newer than Rock and Roller Coaster. It's going to be a little smoother.
Yeah.
But
so Imagineering files permit for removal and disposal of hydraulics from Splash Mountain.
Some of the older animatronics.
I guess they're not going to be using, very many, it doesn't sound like, of the old ones. Of course, then again, the hydraulics might have had to do with certain ones. Like, say, that turtle that's like on his back, looks like he's being floating up in the air from being sprayed or whatever.
Yeah, in the lowest part of the ride, like the cave area.
Yeah, yeah, things like that. I mean, maybe the Brer Bear, when he has the beehive on his nose, I bet there's probably some hydraulics involved there. There's probably some hydraulics involved in a lot of the bigger animatronics, truthfully, especially given the time frame that it was built. So that probably has a lot to do with it. It was definitely a different generation of audio animatronic. Yeah. So,
in this story, though, they did quote the lead Imagineer on this project. This was from 2 years ago, though. But she did say, the way that we're approaching our audio animatronic figures would be an example of how we are looking to advance the storytelling and really just kind of change the game, as well as the way that we're approaching our scenic illusions and visual effects so that we can create an immersive environment.
Right.
But as we saw in D23, they were like smoke.
Right.
And lasers or something. What do they call it?
I don't know.
Light, some kind of light effect.
I don't know. Smoke and mirrors? No.
Right. Because we were like, okay, did you cut the budget then, JPEG, before you left?
Yeah. See, the thing is with a ride like Splash Mountain, you kind of get down to the point of, well, you either got to spend a good bit of money to refurbishment or you get to do something new. I think we've discussed that before, though. So
yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And you said we'll Mandalorian and Grogu meet and greet has kind of like surprised everyone, maybe. It actually drew a pretty good crowd at Hollywood Studios.
So. I think, if I remember correctly, I heard the meet and greet's coming to Paris, but the roaming character is...
Oh, well, I call it... You're still meeting and greeting them, technically, if they're roaming. Right. I mean, right? I mean, you're not just...
I mean, yes, but I think in Paris it's actually going to be a photo op.
Like no one's taking a photo op with a roaming...
Well, sure, but what I mean is like,
I get
you
can
take
saying.
A selfie versus a photo pass picture.
I get you. Anywho. Which they'll probably do at some point.
Probably. But
they'll
this
do
is a cool...
combination of things.
They don't have a Galaxy's Edge, though, in Paris, so that's why they're probably just...
That's probably why they're calling it a meet and greet, right?
Yeah. Right.
This also signifies the end of the timeline, I think. Does it not? I
mean, yeah, there's no timeline anymore because, Mando and Grogu are...
I think
like
the whole timeline thing... Yeah.
Years
I think the whole... The whole timeline thing was falling apart anyway, and they just said, we'll just roll with it. Galaxy's Edge no longer has a true story.
I think anyway, I can tell you this because it's not, I don't think this is a spoiler.
Mm-hmm.
Because you watched Book of Boba Fett, which is basically season 2.5 of Mandalorian.
Like the first part is Boba Fett back to tank, and the second half is the Mandalorian season 3, right?
Yeah. So. Well, 2.5, I guess, now.
Whatever.
But so. Jon Favreau said that Grogu was with Luke for 2 years training to be a Jedi.
And then decided to abandon it.
Right. So I'm like, that didn't seem like 2 years on the, Boba Fett thing.
Right.
But maybe the timelines got jumbled or whatever, but anyway, or they cut something out of it, but.
Wouldn't that throw a wrench into Ahsoka being showing up there? I don't know. Maybe I'm
wrong. Who knows? But that was what we... That's what I heard that Favreau had mentioned, that 2 years has gone by.
The reason why I say this, though, was Ahsoka there for the full 2 years? Because she's the one that brought in there. Do you see what I'm saying? Because she was there at the end.
Maybe, like, she left and then came back. And that's what we saw. Whatever.
Speaking of characters making debuts, the Red Panda, the May character from Turning Red, is going to make its first ever Disney Parks debut in Shanghai in Disneyland this spring. So,
Okay, bringing stuff back.
So maybe basically May as the Red Panda. So Kali reopened early from refurbishment, probably because they didn't really need to do much this time around. They just close it. They just close it in winter just for the heck of it, truthfully.
Just to save a few bucks. They figured
it was warm enough. Like, hey, we'll just reopen it back up.
Yeah, and it's almost spring break time, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the new Spaceship Earth show. Did you say that already? I think you said something about the Encanto. Well,
yeah, I mentioned.
I haven't seen it yet, but I know they have an Encanto show. Yes. As part of Spaceship Earth.
I did see some of it. It looks cool. And it has the songs. But the topiaries for Encanto are kind of, I think that's what I mentioned, was
they're pretty impressive.
The centerpiece. Yeah. So those are new. Yeah. And I was just going to mention Tiana, I believe, is at the American Adventure.
Her topiary.
Her new topiary. So that's another new one. So I'll definitely want to check that out.
And trying to see if there's any other ones related to that. I'll tell you what, the Beacon show, the Beacons of Magic. The Beacon show, basically. So as far as the Beacon shows go, Epcot is most definitely the funnest that they've done. I mean, it's the most... I think it probably attracts the most attention, really, of all the ones that they do.
And I'm glad they didn't just resort to, like, projections on Spaceship Earth. I like that they did the LED lights and stuff. And
right. Yeah, that is kind of like it. Yeah, coordinated with the music. Yeah.
Yeah. It's better than just slapping projections on everything, which is what they had been doing for a long time.
Yeah. And I think that's another reason people make that the combination of what they do with the lights, the music, everything. It's a good show.
Yeah.
So, although I say the holiday one that they did with Tower of Terror is pretty good too. So,
yeah.
So there was a press conference held at Disney World.
Oh, Lord. Here we go. Yep.
It was actually at, what was it, the building number 4 of the Reedy Creek?
Fire Department.
Fire Department, yeah. So it was the signing of the bill for the state of Florida takeover of Reedy Creek Improvement District.
Central Florida Tourism Oversight District now, or it will be.
Yeah. I don't think, it's to be renamed to that.
I'm so dumb.
Just kind of do the notable points real quick. Board of Supervisors consists of 5 members. Board of Supervisor members to be picked by the Florida governor and confirmed by Senate. Board members cannot have worked for a theme park or entertainment complex in the past 3 years. I think we've already discussed all these points to it already.
They're DeSantis loyalists that he picked, the ones he picked. So they're
Which they're, is typical of anything political.
Right.
So, I mean, you don't just go in and pick, I don't know any party, we'll put it that way, that's not going to pick their own their own people.
Let's go back, though, to kind of the original, when this was first talked about last summer, was it? Uh-huh. That they were going to disband this whole thing and...
Disband. You're talking about...
The Reedy Creek Improvement District, everything was going to go out the window. And so what they ended up with, though, was very different from what they were talking initially.
Instead of doing away with it.
Right. They were going to do it completely. It would be state run. It would be... But, the big thing was the taxpayers would then shoulder this $1 billion debt that they had and all that stuff. But what...
That was the main concern of the citizens.
Right. I've heard a few Disney people break this down a little bit to say that really Disney's coming out pretty good on this for the most part. And I'm like, okay, I agree to some extent. I mean, they're keeping their district. They're not going to lose the ability to kind of govern themselves, so to speak, to some degree. They're, I think one of the stipulations was they're not going to allow them to build an airport or a nuclear power plant. Like, they were going to do that anyway, right?
They may have discussed it before, but no.
Like, probably in the 70s, they talked about that, but they weren't going to do it. anymore. So
the odds that they were ever going to get around to that,
right?
If they had it on their plans, probably not very likely.
Or nuclear at this point. I mean, they're definitely not. They would never do nuclear this day and age.
No, it doesn't seem to be. But yeah,
no, they've done enough solar to power two of the four parks, so they're not going to risk a nuclear meltdown by building a plant. Anyway, the main sticking point.
I just had that scene in Naked Gun in my head for some reason.
Yes, yes.
You know what I'm
talking
about?
I know what you're talking about.
Go ahead.
Moving on. Yeah. But, okay, so the main thing that is kind of sticking it to Disney is this, the governor picks the board, five people, and, you know, the way he was sort of bragging about this today was, or in the news this week, was that they're going to, you know, keep Disney in check. They're going to try to sway Disney to, you know, not make, to sort of go back to the old days kind of talk, that rhetoric. So they're basically saying,
old days?
Yeah, like he's saying, like, oh, Walt, like what Walt would have wanted and all this stuff. So he's kind of trying to appeal to the fans, I guess, by saying that. But he also made the comment, and I put it in our chat, that, you know, Disney's now going to have the same level as, say, a SeaWorld, like the same kind of setup as SeaWorld, or they'll be on the same level. Last time I checked, SeaWorld doesn't have a board of five people handpicked by the governor.
The site is the overseeing of the Reedy Creek district, called something else now, right? Basically just the district that they're in.
Yeah.
I think his comment about, how did he put it? When you lose your way, you've got to have people that are going to tell you the truth, so we hope they can get back on. But I think all of these board members very much would like to see the type of entertainment that all families can appreciate.
Coded language. Because that's what Disney's doing, by the way. Speaking of, that other story I was going to mention is this new, I guess, doll added to Small World was one of the kids in a wheelchair, obviously, mm-hmm. to be more inclusive. So what is the all families? Like, what does that mean? Because I think that's what Disney's been trying to do.
I will say this. I think the comment made saying, like, talking about maybe it'll influence them, I guess, to maybe consider how they would do things in the future. I think that's maybe a comment of him saying he would rather see the more traditional family oriented programming, which they haven't really, like, gone away from that very much to begin with, truthfully.
The other question, thing about this is, he's the governor. And isn't this a very anti-Republican thing to be talking? You know, the government is now
telling you
interfering with Disney.
Well, like, it's not anti. Anyway, it's not really anti-Republican, because Republicans have quite frequently made that point to an extent about the freedom thing. But then there's been as a whole, they don't necessarily abide by it. Let's just put it that way. There are people within it that truly do believe in the whole free trade and everything, but as a general, like as a whole, I don't think that that's what this is. I mean, in a way, that is kind of telling someone what to do, and I don't particularly like that aspect of it. The thing is, I feel like I have to preface everything that I say nowadays when it comes to this. I am not a party person, and by that I mean I do not subscribe.
You don't like the party.
Yeah, I do not subscribe to a political party per se. I'm more of an independent.
Sure.
I will say that a lot of my ideals do probably lean more towards the conservative side. That does not mean everything does. But having said that, like I said, I'm sad that I feel like I have to preface that. I don't like it anytime someone is trying to tell someone else how to do their business, right, whether I agree with it or not.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is I feel like we're founded on freedom in general. There are times when, like, for the most part, business should be allowed to do what business is allowed to do. They shouldn't be totally unrestrained, obviously, because that would be, they would just take advantage of that. But they shouldn't have everything that happens should not have to be regulated. You see what I'm saying? That's my point. It should be more of a free trade type society. This is kind of like, we don't like what you're doing, here we're going to do something about that in a way. Then again, some of this just sounds like he's doing this for like the public to see it. And then it's probably like this, some of this stuff is probably, unless something major comes up again, it's probably going to fade into the background, to be honest with you.
He's using
this, usually what happens,
because he wants to run for president. So he's going to use this until he doesn't need to use it anymore. But he also is using words like, you know, there's a new sheriff in town. You know, your days of doing all this, whatever you want, is over.
Right.
We're going to make sure all this. So it's like he's he just got annoyed and he's just trying to stick it to Disney. And, he's using it for political gain.
Let's be honest, though. None of this would have happened if one of two things, whoever the pundit or whoever it was that labeled the bill what they labeled it, and Chapek's response.
Yeah.
If neither of those two things ever happened, we wouldn't even be discussing this right now.
Well, according to DeSantis, Chapek called him and was like, hey, I kind of getting pressured here to speak out against this thing, but I don't really want to, but...
That's what he said.
Can you just, basically. And then he just was like, oh, well, he did it anyway. So, you know, screw you.
Okay. Well, and Iger's response was very, as we say with anything, his initial response on tweet or his tweet about, I don't remember it word for word right on top of my head.
Yeah, but he was very much against it. Yeah. Outspokenly against it.
No, he said the way he worded it, he said if any kind of bill that could potentially harm children. He did not take a stance. He was very political answer. He was. I mean, that's what he does.
He would have handled it better, I think, in general. He handled
But my point most things with that better. Being is, he would have probably gone to DeSantis and would they discuss thing and probably worked something out that neither was going to admit to in public and we wouldn't have this. That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's what would have happened there in those cases. So
I kind of wish Disney had fought back on this a little bit, but I get why they're not. They're just like, they don't really have a chip to bargain with right now.
They don't have anything to bargain with because they need the state of Florida, because it's in the state of Florida. You can't move Disney World.
Right. So they're just like letting this play out for now. But
and to be quite honest, people have danced around this, but you know, they talk about the failure of Lightyear, but everybody has kind of danced around the reason for the failure of Lightyear. It had a reputation and therefore only certain people saw it. It's not doing well on Disney Plus. And
I haven't watched it.
You haven't watched it. See, that's what I'm saying. You didn't have a desire to watch it. I said initially that the other thing is no one wanted this story to begin with. No one wanted the real Buzz Lightyear story. Why would they? That is the dumbest thing. They're invested in the toy. They could care less about the real Buzz Lightyear. I mean, that's just how I feel.
But shouldn't Disney be allowed to try to make these stories if they want to?
Like, sure, they can be. They can be allowed to try to make them if they want to. But they, you know, if it doesn't make money, they could. You know, I know they're a company. Right. They're in it to make money.
Well, so, I don't think Lightyear 2 is in the making.
No, it won't be. Let's be honest. This is the film that they have referenced when they talk about Pixar changing direction. Because of the failure of it. I mean, they have not danced around that part. That is, the failure of this film is the reason why they're changing direction. So,
well, I don't know why this has anything to do with DeSantis necessarily, but he's clearly got it in for Disney and he's going to stick it to him as long as it does good for him politically. So it's kind of frustrating, I think, because it's going to hold Disney back, it looks like, because that's basically what he's... like saying without saying it. It's like, let them try to do something and we'll shoot it down.
Well, and Disney's taking the position that they're taking as far as saying that they're not going to fight anything because he's not going to be there forever. That being Ron DeSantis.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah.
Go ahead.
He's got at least 4 years to go. So we'll see what happens.
Well, it depends. If he's going to put in a presidential run, he doesn't have 4 years.
Yeah, well, wouldn't he go back to being governor if he loses?
I know you can do that as a senator, but I'm not sure about governor. I've never heard of that before, Teresa.
Do you have to relinquish your governorship just to run? I don't know. Anyway.
Good question. We'll I really out. Don't know. I mean, I've seen senators go back to being senators, obviously, after they ran for president. So.
Yeah. We've talked a lot about this, too. I'm tired of talking about this story because it's just annoying.
But the thing is, Florida, even if, let's just say, it's DeSantis himself, Florida is likely to still be mainly Republican. I mean, it's still going. I don't see that changing.
Well, so, it's not that Disney didn't give money to Republicans either. Yeah. They did. I think they did a lot to try and keep everybody happy with them.
Right.
As far as, you know, making sure they kept this status they had.
I just hate the fact that any of this became political, because it's not been their reputation in the past. And unfortunately, it's a stain right now.
Yeah, on the company. It's just, I don't like any of it, though. But because it's probably going to hold them back. We'll see even less innovation now, probably.
I don't know that they have. I don't think they would ever dial that back. If anything, they would probably take pot shots, like stuff that's hidden almost, kind of like what they do already at that level. Does that make sense?
Maybe. We'll see.
At DeSantis, somewhat. Although, with the way DeSantis takes this stuff, he takes it a little too seriously. They may not want to try to rock that boat while he's still there. So
right. They may just try to wait him out is what it seems like. But that means, you know, they're not going to build anything for at least the next 5 years.
No, they'll be building stuff. Yeah, they'll be building
stuff. You know what I mean. There'll be certain things they probably can't do. Anyway, let's move on. And we will be right back.
Calling all parents. Meet the Family Cash Card, Greenlight's newest credit card for parents. You can earn up to 3% cash back on every dollar spent. No limits, no categories, no hassle. No kidding. You can choose to auto-invest your cash back to pay for your kids' college, apply it to your balance, or send your cash back straight to your wallet. It's basically cash back your way every day. Get started today at greenlight.com.
And now back to the show.
Oh, yes, our topic of relaxing ride.
Yeah, let's relax for a minute after all that.
That's probably the perfect time for this.
Yeah. We need to relax. Are we doing park by park?
I actually had a tough time thinking about this. We can do them park by park. I really wish this is one we could have more involvement with, like, say, if Jason were here and maybe, I don't know, a guest.
We could also do a poll.
That would be fun.
If you want to do a poll at some point.
We could do that eventually. I think we need to discuss it right now, though.
Let's just
We'll do the poll following it up.
Feel it out here. What do we got?
I have one park in particular, and I think we discussed about this, that we're having trouble finding something that's actually relaxing. And I think we were going to stick to just being rides. That would make it even more hard.
Yeah.
Should we maybe... See, but the thing is, if we include shows or lounges or something like that, that's going to end up being all lounges. So I think we should stick with the ride.
Yeah, not lounges. I would say attractions.
So we would just say attractions, not rides?
Yeah.
Okay. Because there's a lot of attractions.
Let's see where we go with it. Let's say attractions and we'll see how it unfolds.
That should give us more stuff to go by. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's go park to park. Sound like a good idea?
All right. Let's do it. Which park are we starting with?
Let's go to Animal Kingdom.
Okay, Animal Kingdom. I had a couple that came to mind here.
All right, well, you go ahead.
The obvious one, I think, is Navi River Journey, because that's kind of the whole point of the ride.
Your really favorite?
Yeah, not hardly. This ride is so dang short for a boat ride. It's over before it starts. Like, by the time I'm like, oh, this is nice and chill and I'm relaxed, it's over. And you're like, oh, I have to get up and leave. So that's the point, I would say, is like, I like it and it is relaxing, but it's only like 3 minutes. Whereas the others from the other parks that I'll mention are much longer, very long, actually. And you really get to kind of relax. So the other one I think of is the safari. It's not super relaxing in the sense that it's very bumpy and you're like,
right. That's hard to relax on there, I think.
But it's relaxing to some degree because you kind of, especially the last time I rode it, I was on the very back row and you kind of feel like you're kind of by yourself in the back row because everyone's looking, but you can kind of turn around and look behind you at all the stuff you've just passed and you can kind of like, oh, that's cool. You know,
it's not extra bumpy in the back.
It is still bumpy, yeah. So it's not relaxing in that sense, but it's a long ride and you get to see like animals, you know, chilling and hanging out. And so I would say back row safari is not bad.
Okay.
So those are my two thoughts for
Animal Kingdom. Thoughts on that? You know, I, as you said, could go a couple of different directions. So when you we said we're going to include shows, I immediately went to thinking through that. I was like, I don't know if any of the shows really I would consider still like all that relaxing. First of all, the seating's not that good in most of them.
Yeah, and, it's not. It's usually bench seats or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's hard to relax when the seating's not that great. To me, I think the most obvious choice is Navi, really. I mean, because that is a very relaxing environment, I think.
Yeah.
I know it's not your favorite ride, but
if you could combine the length of Safari with the relaxing nature of Navi River Journey, an 18-minute boat ride through through the Navi forest, if you could loop around like five times, that would be really relaxing. I would be like really chill at the end of that.
Okay. And it's, I mean, that's relatively comfortable. Right.
So I think Navi has to win here, though, overall.
I think Navi's the number one choice.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if you could consider, I even thought about this because I don't know what you consider a Flight of Passage to be. I mean, it's kind of, it kind of is in a way a relaxing, I mean, because it gives me feelings of, yeah. You know what I mean? Like I come away with these very relaxing, like very earthy.
Little euphoric feelings.
Yeah. Yeah, out of it. Even though it has moments, obviously, when you're, you know, being chased by a giant.
Yeah.
The giant Ikron.
Yeah.
Whatever. And
or that jump scare at the end where the
yeah,
little rhinoceros like that, looking things are like jumping on each other.
For the most part, you're actually just doing kind of like a Soarin', but through the world of Avatar.
Well, my favorite part of Flight of Passage is when you stop in the cave and you kind of breathe for a second. And you're
You just feel down. The... You just feel the Ikron
breathing, yeah. And then the little luminous stuff lights up, and you're like, the music is very relaxing, and then all of a sudden you take off and you dive down. That's like the best part to me. I love that part. So it's very relaxing. Yeah.
So
not the whole ride though.
And I'm trying to think if there's another one that could be put in there.
I think Jason mentioned Kali. Which
I think he was throwing that out there to mess with you.
I agree, but he'll say Kali for everything. But Kali, I wouldn't call relaxing, but there are parts of it that are less intense than others, right? I mean, it's not that intense to begin with.
Actually, the majority of the ride is not that, it's not that rough, with the exception of the drop at the end.
Yeah.
That's like the only time that there's...
Yeah, there's like one part where there's some rapids, but you don't really, not really much to it. But
yeah. No, there's not much to any of that ride except for the one drop.
Yeah.
So... Like it's like I've made the comment. I was like, as far as those type of raft rides go, it's not my favorite. Yeah,
it's pretty down the list.
It's pretty tame, actually.
Rapids rides, yeah. So,
as far as those river rapid type rides.
Triceratops spin, is that relaxing?
No. So, I will say this: one thing that I thought about since we started saying attraction. I could see not as much the Maharaja Jungle Trek, but the Gorilla Forest Trail. I could consider that one relaxing.
I like walking through some of them. It tends to be really crowded. That's the only thing. Sometimes it's very crowded, but if it's not super crowded, there's some that I really enjoy walking through. Yeah.
What I think it is the time of day when we think about doing these things is when it's crowded.
Usually. it's usually midday.
Yeah. The Gorilla Forest one, though, too, is because it's like the entrance to it is the one they used to call it Pangani Forest Exploration. They changed it to Gorilla because that was the
easier. I guess
they were this well, that and they were the stars of the show, right? That's the star of that trail is the gorillas.
Yeah, it drew more people, probably.
Right. I'm thinking something like that. If you really want to do it when there's not very many people in there, probably do it first because most people are doing other things first because they were doing it for, you know, trying to get on.
Safari or something. Yeah.
So I'm thinking doing one of the walking trails first would probably keep the crowd down over there.
Yeah, actually probably.
And that one, for whatever reason, that one tends to be more crowded than the Maharaja one. But the Maharaja one, the setting and everything is just like being in an oven.
Yeah. I love the tigers, though. Seeing the tigers on that one.
Yeah, and I do too. I mean, I like that trail too, but it's just I don't like it as much as the other.
Yeah. So they're both good, but.
I like the forest setting better.
Yeah, so. I see what you. It's cooler.
Somewhat. Yeah, yeah.
A little bit. You don't get pooped on by birds in that one, do you? I remember the other one. Isn't it
Maharaja? There's a section that has birds in it in both of them.
Okay. So. I saw somebody get pooped on last time. I think that was in Maharaja.
So,
anyway.
The tigers and the bats are the main attractions at the Maharaja one, pretty much.
Yeah, the bats are, they're huge, man.
Yeah.
Big.
Giant vampire bats. And you're going to go there.
Always quote that line.
Let's move on to, I'm going to move on to Epcot. And the reason why I'm skipping a certain park that we would normally do second
is yes.
because of obvious reasons.
Right, right. There's three rides here I would do.
Really? You would consider relaxing?
Yes. It's Grand Fiesta Tour. It's a decent length, you know, it's what, 7 minutes, maybe 5-6 minutes, whatever it is. It's a decent length. It's the first part is very relaxing. Even the song, you know, gets in your head, but it's like, okay, you're still chilling down the river. It's not too bad. And if you've just stopped at La Cava beforehand, you're in a great mood. Feels great. So it's a really good choice. Like, the only thing that would make it better is if you could take your drink on the ride. I know why they don't do that, though. It's for obvious reasons. Spaceship Earth's another one that is chill. I like, it's slow. You can literally take a nap on that descent.
If the ride vehicle itself were made for tall people, I would agree with you, but
yeah, that's why it's not
as relaxing. And it's not exactly, it's a pretty hard seat.
Yeah.
In there. So,
so for me though, number one is the land. It's going to be the one.
Living with the land.
More comfortable seating. You can lay down if you wanted to, if you got a whole row, like, you know, if you got it when it wasn't busy.
Right.
It's nice and dark in the beginning. You got the rain sound and it lulls you to sleep. And then you've got the, you know, the farm. Then you got the outdoor areas. It's really fun to see everything. Very chill and lengthy. You know, what, 11 minutes or so? I forgot the runtime, but something along those lines. So that's perfect for a relaxing ride. That's what I would pick.
So you picked
the land.
So that was your number one pick, but you chose, you said three you could think of, right?
Yeah, three came to mind immediately. Those were the three. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to try to think of something a little different because my number one pick would probably be the land as well, living with the land, that is.
It has to be.
Because that's relaxing. The seats are reasonable.
Yeah. I would argue most of the rides at Epcot are pretty relaxing, aside from Guardians or Mission Space or anything.
Or Test Track.
Yeah.
Frozen or...
Frozen's pretty relaxing until you know the end. Actually, okay. The first lift hill is like the bumpiest
lift hill in the history ever. Of lift hills. Huh?
Basically, but...
I was trying to think if there's anything I could add to that since we decided to include shows. I guess if you were going into one of the films that had particularly relaxing music and had comfortable seating, which most of them do have comfortable seating.
Man, Impressions de France would be very relaxing. Yeah,
if you can actually, you know,
yeah,
get there during the 1 hour that they're showing it.
Right.
That's what it seems like lately anyway.
Late at night, right? Don't they only show it late at night, I think?
I don't know. Yeah, something like that. I think they get more people going to see the Beauty and the Beast one because it's shorter and people also sing along to it.
Duh. So I did that, the Beauty and the Beast one once. It was awful. I hated it.
I'm not really the biggest fan of it though, but it kills a little bit of time and it keeps the kids occupied for a minute. So
yeah, the kids hated it. Can we leave?
Maybe it depends on the age.
Yeah. Anyway,
I would say if we're going to talk about places, and I heard you say something about potentially taking a nap. We're going to talk about places you could potentially take a nap. American Adventure comes to mind. Some people
can take a nap and fall asleep in that show too. Yeah.
Just because the chairs are comfortable and it's long. Let's be honest. That's one of the main reasons.
Yeah.
Because if you've seen it before, I actually enjoy the show though. I really do. I mean, I would, if it were going to compare that, say, to its Hall of Presidents, I would definitely take the American Adventure.
Yeah. I would pick that one too. Yeah. Agreed.
Back before it was changed to Guardians, Universe of Energy was a good place for a nap.
Yeah, totally.
I do know that.
Because you did take a nap, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I literally, like, well, yeah. Because I had a whole row to myself, I actually laid down in the row. I forgot at what point of the attraction, but I did. I think it was near the end whenever they do the most boring stuff of it. The most boring part. I'm trying to think if there's another one I would add to that. I guess Nemo's not really all that relaxing.
It's dark, it's cool in there, it's nice for a break.
It doesn't last very long, though.
Yeah, it's not super long.
Never, it doesn't last very long.
Figment, I wouldn't call it relaxing. Because you got the weird smell, and then you've got the air blast, and the song.
At the very end. Head.
Seeing Eric Idle as the moon is traumatizing. So
I mean, you know, you named Fiesta Tour. I guess I could go along with that.
I think especially the beginning is very chill. Yeah. The song kind of gets like repetitive and okay, you know, sometimes you're not in the mood for it, but
I really guess you can make an argument for any of the films.
Yeah.
Being a place to relax.
Well, Canada, you have to stand up, right?
So that's true. That's right. That's not a relaxing standing. China, you said the China film you sat down for, though.
It's been a while since I've done that. Did they ever update that one?
They were supposed to, but I don't remember if it ever took place. Hey,
it's been a while since
I know they talked about it.
Done that one. Anyway.
All right, so we'll move to Magic Kingdom now.
Yeah.
This one has when you throw in the show factor, it doesn't really change this one a whole lot, but
I mean,
it does bring some into it. But
I think there's an obvious one, though, right? I mean, are we going to agree on this one, the most relaxing?
I think everybody would agree on this one. The People Mover is the most relaxing. Yeah.
People Mover is it, for sure.
Yeah, that's number one. So what else would you consider?
I would say Carousel of Progress is definitely one. If you want a nap, you can certainly do it there. It's very long.
So, yeah, I would consider that, too.
Nice comfy seats, even though they're old. Comfy seats.
Yeah, I could make an argument for the railroad.
Yeah, I would say that too. I had a great time riding the railroad. People Mover takes it though, I think.
Yeah, it takes
Pirates
the
to me is relaxing. Like even the drop is not
I thought
that
about
much,
that one.
I like Pirates.
I mean, I do too, but I don't know if I follow it under the term of relaxing. I don't know.
Not for the entire ride, but
could you consider the riverboat ride relaxing?
Yeah, I was going to say that too.
If you get a seat.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Country Bears, you sit, but I don't think I would call that relaxing. That's
yeah,
more
it's
of a
more
lively
you clap
show.
Your hands and stomp your feet and try to keep right with them. Kind of a show. Yeah. PhilharMagic.
Yeah, PhilharMagic, you sit. I guess you might
it's
get
a little too
that.
Much going on and loud to be super relaxing to me.
If you just decided to go in there and not actually pay attention to the attraction and just close your eyes, yeah, you could take a nap in there. I mean, you could.
I was going to say Mermaid is kind of relaxing.
It has its moments. I actually thought about Peter Pan. It's just kind of short.
Yeah, it's too short, I would say. But yeah, it is a little relaxing.
It has a relaxing atmosphere thing. And even the music, even as repetitive as it is soft music, so.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think if there's any others I would put in this category. I can't really think of any more that I would put in this category. Like you said, the obvious winner, is
People
Mover
is the one. I would, and it's one you can do more than once, so you can just ride it as many times as you want. It's usually not too long of a wait. So
I think so far we've pretty much agreed that there's obvious choices for the parks that we've done so far. So we've pretty much agreed Navi was the number one choice at Animal Kingdom, right?
Living
with the Land was the number one choice at Epcot, and the People Mover being the number one choice at Magic Kingdom.
Yep.
Here's where it gets hard, because as far as rides go, there is literally no relaxing rides at Hollywood Studios. Every last one of the rides there are thrill, try to get your blood pumping type rides.
Basically, does the Skyliner count?
The ride it's there, outside. If you're saying it, that would it's outside the park, I consider that. I tell you what, if we just picked one form of transportation that's the most relaxing, that would be my choice. I think Skyliner is the most relaxing. Now, obviously, if somebody has an issue with heights, they would not be relaxed at all.
Now, if you go with relaxing, Skyliner's probably got that over the monorail, but the monorail seating is more comfortable in general, but.
And I was actually thinking friendship boats, but they just, it's a little too much vibrations most of the time.
And you're smelling the diesel fuel or whatever.
Yeah, or whatever fuel it burns on.
Yeah.
It's somewhat relaxing, though.
Yeah, once you're moving,
because of the atmosphere.
Yeah. I used to love those, man. That used to be my, like, staying at one of those resorts, like Yacht Club, riding that boat over to Hollywood Studios or something. It's very relaxing.
So anyway, we've gotten off track on that part.
Sorry.
We're trying to go to Hollywood Studios.
Speaking of Hollywood Studios.
Say, we're just avoiding picking Hollywood Studios is what we're doing. We're trying to
Tower
do anything to waste time.
It's very relaxing until the drop part. It's just a nice little elevator ride.
If you like that sensation of the weightlessness, I guess you could consider this one still relaxing, right? As far as a ride goes, that's the closest thing you're going to get to relaxing.
I thought Slinky Dog came to mind, even though it's not, I wouldn't call it relaxing. It's a nice, gentle coaster for the most part.
I mean, Swirling Saucers is not relaxing.
Yeah, like it's like, oh, this is fun. And then, you know, you get slung around.
This is why throwing shows in is probably important here. However, that's still tough just because, like the outdoor shows like Indiana Jones and Beauty and the Beast, the seating is not that comfortable.
No. And Indiana Jones is not like, oh, I love relaxing at the Indiana Jones stunt show where there's explosions, explosions and fire and fighting.
Right, so it doesn't really fit either. The closest thing to that might be if it's still open, when it's still open, Voyage of the Little Mermaid, that might be considered.
Oh, gosh.
Ugh, as an option for so that. Much. But
Frozen, maybe? The Frozen sing-along?
Sing-along? Yeah, I guess you could make that one relaxing. Muppets? I don't know.
Yeah.
There's nothing relaxing at Hollywood Studios. Just like an action-packed park.
It really
Even the shows are not potentially relaxing. It's like you go there if you're on speed.
I mean, Smuggler's Run, it's not really relaxing either, to be honest. It's too much happening.
Star Tours. I mean, Rise has got a lot going on. I guess because the ride being smooth, maybe, but there's a lot of action going on.
Yeah, there's too much happening. You can't relax on that.
It's like I've said before, it's E-Ticket Park. It's part of the problem that it has. It's the smallest park, but you jammed a bunch of E-Tickets into it, and now there's nowhere people can walk.
Yeah, and there's no, like, relaxing something to eat some people. You need, like, a something to...
Right.
Back in the day, if you want to go back in time, the Backlot Tour was somewhat relaxing, although the Catastrophe Canyon area was a little intense. Great Movie Ride, I thought was very relaxing. That's probably the one I would have picked.
It could be. It's funny to say this, though, because it is a thrill ride, but the closest thing probably is, if you think about it, probably is Tower.
Really? No.
What's the closest thing?
Runaway Railway is probably the closest.
See, I don't see that either. Especially when they just a couple of times they jerk you back and forth in there.
Right. Yeah, it moves around.
I couldn't sleep in there. Not that I could sleep on Tower.
Is that the test? Right. Okay. When have you taken a nap on Tower of Terror?
You know, one thing I do remember back in the day, whenever the school would take trips to like Six Flags or whatever, and we would always go on a slow day, right? So we could just literally ride everything in there multiple times over and over again all day long. Mm-hmm. And I do remember doing that, and like when I came home and went to sleep at night, I still had that feeling like I was maybe on a ride, it's like my body was still in that mode, like I would have that up and down sensation with gravity while I was trying to sleep.
Like you're standing on a dock or something all day.
I guess, but no, it was almost like the true sensation, like the Tower of Terror sensation, like the weightlessness thing. Yeah. I would get that. It's like it was in my head because I'd ridden so many rides consecutively that were thrill.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't really just give a definitive answer, I don't think, for Hollywood Studios.
Yeah,
I can't give
one. This is where we probably need some help. What is the most relaxing?
What do you consider relaxing at Hollywood Studios? Nothing.
Baseline Tap House, but that's not a ride or an attraction.
Yeah, if we...
Brown Derby Lounge.
What is an attraction?
Yeah.
And like I said, the shows, there's only a handful of those, and those are not relaxing environments mostly. Frozen might be the closest one.
They need a streetcar like DCA has in that area. Put a streetcar going up the main street and then let it turn down, like circle around and turn down Sunset.
So what you're saying is the smallest park that has the most e-ticket rides and people like cram it full.
Yeah, streetcar. So it'll run over
a streetcar in it, right.
So people will get run over.
So we could go really, really slow throughout the day up and down.
Exactly. That's what it needs.
Well, DCA is a little bigger than Hollywood Studios.
Yeah.
So that probably makes more sense there.
The trolley car. But my point is it needs some kind of transportation type ride, something like People Mover or the train or Skyliner. But
they used to have old fashioned cars.
Yeah.
Out there. They were on display though, but they don't even have that anymore.
Well, they used to have that guy that drove around on that like Model T looking car and talked to people.
Oh yeah.
But
do they even have street performers anymore?
No, because they fired them all because they're trying to save money. Who was the guy you loved so much at Hollywood Studios? There was one guy.
He played the character of Francis Flute.
Yeah.
Dewey Chaffee, I think, or Chaffee. I can't think how you say his last name.
That'd be a good YouTube upload because you have
that guy
stuff of him, right?
I had the footage of the very first time that I encountered him. I didn't really know his name at that point in time, but he became popular enough that people like had him on their show and stuff after that. Mm. But he's been gone from Hollywood Studios for a while now. Yeah. But he was there for a pretty good while. Or he left and came back, I think, one time, too. So he had his character was really funny. I always thought so. He was one of the best ones.
Yeah. Maybe you should post the video on but
that was where? His character was Francis Flute, and he was from Alabama. And he was coming out to Hollywood to be a star. And he was kind of dressed nerdy, nerd glasses.
I remember. Yeah. I remember seeing the video. Anyway, he's long gone.
Yeah. Not everybody that I show that video to thinks it's hilarious for whatever reason. Maybe you had to be there. I don't know. All right. So I think since we can't decide on one for Hollywood Studios, really, like a definitive answer, maybe we should leave that up to the people.
I mean, to me, the closest you can get is like Slinky Dog or that's
we're
it.
Leave it up to the people. We're going to do power to the people.
Yeah, we should just make that a question. What's a relaxing ride at Hollywood Studios or attraction? And see
if anybody see what they answer.
Right. See what the answers we get are, because it's hard to find one. That's for sure. Lightning McQueen's Racing Academy. You could probably fall asleep in that one.
I probably could. Great. I don't know. How comfortable are the seats? I haven't even been in there yet.
I think they were bench seats, if I remember right. I don't think they were comfortable.
So not that comfortable. So the closest one with comfortable chairs is probably the Frozen one.
Yeah.
That's probably the most comfortable chair.
And it's indoors, air conditioned. So yeah, Frozen. Yeah. Or the Mickey Mouse Shorts Theater. We didn't mention that.
Yes, that's right. Well, that's only fitting. That's only fitting because I think that theater used to be the one that was that had Sounds Dangerous in it. That was an easy place to fall asleep in.
Yeah.
I mean, a show in which you sit and are in the dark for like, I don't know, 15 minutes or whatever it is. Like there's no lights in there for anything. Perfect place for a nap.
I think the Frozen show is longer, obviously, but the Mickey one, Summer Vacation time.
See, I haven't even seen that yet. I'm going to have to make a point to see that next time.
It's good. It's basically just a
Mickey short.
You know how sitcoms used to do that like clip show when they needed a filler episode and they would like remember that time when you know.
This is like the best of so far.
Right.
The best of this season so far.
It was like Mickey was packing for a vacation and he was like, oh, my camera. And then it was the like cut to the clip of that panda one, you know.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
It was like basically a clip show anyway.
But it's got a play on words, just like it's got Mickey shorts.
Yeah.
Funny. Haha.
Right. I love it.
Just like the type of jokes you would get from the actual Mickey shorts. All right. So I guess that's going to do it for this week. So if you want to find us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. That is all at TWTM Podcast. We have a Spreadshirt store in which you can get your exclusive TWTM merchandise. That is shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM Podcast. We have a YouTube channel. Do have a couple of recent older versions of Splash Mountain out there, video-wise, footage that I recorded many moons ago. If you want to check that out, you can. And where else can you find that, Adam?
Our website, travelingwiththemouse.com. Links to all that and more are there. You can email us, podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com. And if you'd like to have assistance planning your next trip, you can contact our travel agent friend. Her info is on our website as well, and support Greenlight.
All right, so for Adam, my name is John. This has been Traveling with the Mouse, and we hope you'll join us on our next trip.
I was going to say Skyliner's got to be more relaxing overall than the monorail or a bus or a boat, so...